Well, that kind of praise music takes me to higher heights in the Lord, doesn't it, you? I mean, it really speaks to my heart to think that our God has given us that grace that we don't deserve. We have that kind of grace available to every one of us, and God has made it available through His Son, Jesus, you know. And, you know, last week I thought it was an awesome service, and I truly enjoyed that. And I just believe that God can be present every service that we're in, that we can feel that, we can sense that presence, you know. To walk out of church on Sunday morning knowing that you've met with God, you know, that He has satisfied your soul, and you've blessed His name and satisfied His soul. That's what it's about, isn't it? Making God real. If you want to get, if you have your Bibles, does anybody have a Bible here today?
Yeah.
Turn to Revelation chapter 1. Actually, I like preaching out of Revelation, and I do it a lot when I have opportunity to preach. They don't usually let me preach this many services in a row, you know. About two and I'm out. Yeah, and I've been feeling sorry for myself all week, thinking that next Sunday is the last Sunday of February. And I'm thinking, I was fired once here, and here I'm going to be fired again. That's not true. That's not true. And talking about Lyle, I remember one Sunday I was preaching out of Psalms, and I said, in my version of Scripture, it said with a loud voice, and with his loud voice said, mine says, shout! What a friend, I tell you, what a friend. I really appreciate them. There's some good times back in those days that we enjoyed, and God blessed us, and we had a good time. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 1. Follow along with me as I read. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servant what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus the Christ. Blessed is one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it. So we have a chance for blessing here today from God. For those who read it and for those who hear it, and what's it say? Take it to heart. You know, it's so easy sometimes for us to read it. You know, I'm obligated every day to read my scriptures. But I'm just as obligated to take it to heart, what I read. Yep. You know, we need to do that. So, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from Him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before His throne, and from Jesus the Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to Him who loves us, and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve His God and Father. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Look, He is coming in the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him, and all the people on the earth will mourn because of Him. And so shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest, and the hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining at its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. And these are, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love that you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lamp stand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hated the practice of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. You know, I've spent the last couple of Sundays talking to you about the provisions that God has given the church for growing the church. And you know, I've been in ministry now over 50 years, so that makes me kind of old. And I've recognized a lot of things, a lot of changes in the lives of a church. I've been in some churches where they've run around the aisles. I've been in some churches where I had one person, when I got to the pulpit to start to preach, went clear to the back of the church where there was a pew along the wall, crawled up on that pew and laid out, just stretched out, laid out on the stirrup, like that. And I thought, well, this is going to be interesting, you know. It was my first Sunday to be there. I was just filling in. And I thought, you know, I wonder how many more people's eyes are going to close like this, you know. So I've experienced a lot of different kinds of things in a lot of different kinds of churches. And I've realized this one thing, that there are so many churches today that are just status quo, just hanging on to what they have. This was Ephesus. I mean, they were a great church. Good things were happening there. You probably couldn't have found a better church to be a part of. It was probably a lot like what Nola said last week, like family. They upheld all the right stuff. They upheld the name of Jesus. They'd done all these things. But the one thing that was missing in this church was what grew this church to begin with. How many of you have been a part of a new church, forming a new church, going out, starting from scratch? Anybody? Just me and her. Well, I tell you what it takes. It takes the Holy Spirit, first of all, to give us the power to do the work. One of the major things in growing a new church is reaching people. How many of you remember the word revival? Had any revivals lately? Revivals were there for the purpose of growing the church. It was the way that God used His Holy Spirit to infiltrate our communities by people going out, you know, hang up a few signs, knock on a few doors, pray a lot. But it's interesting that what we read about all the good stuff here in Ephesus, that the thing missing, which is kind of hard for me to understand, the thing missing is that which they had at first that created that church being there and the fact that that church was growing. Now, like I said, most of us here were way past the beginning of this church. None of us were here when it was first formed, and we don't know what all went on, but I can tell you this. I bet you there were people in the community calling on the neighbors. I bet there was information out there that let people know that there was a group forming here. Maybe it's a prayer meeting. Maybe it was a Bible study. I don't know. Don't know the history of the church. But I know this much, that almost every Christian movement that ever started with soul winning, with canvassing communities, inviting people. It wasn't something that was harsh and mechanical. It was something that came from the heart of those who were forming the church. You see, God had made available for every church member, the gifts of evangelism. That's what the gifts are in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Those are the gifts. Most of our churches have the gifts out of Romans. They are more in-house gifts. You know, prophesying and charitable acts and those kinds of things, but the gifts of evangelism were for the reaching the masses, and I think that what God is saying here in Revelation is that these gifts that I provided for you, church, these gifts that I provided for you, you've placed them up here on the shelf. You know, you still admire them. You know, you still, I believe what they do. But they don't come down off the shelf. They're left there. But God is able, listen to me. You've got a new pastor coming. And you're going to think and put on him the responsibility of doing all this church growing. But it's not his responsibility, not all of it. He's to be your leader, your shepherd. But you know, it's up to you to allow the Holy Spirit to work through you and to use you. And there's nothing fearful about that. In fact, that's pretty exciting when you think about it. To be able to walk up to your neighbor's door. I come into church here a couple of Sundays ago, or I don't know when it was, come up that road up there, and there's several new homes up along there. Anybody called on them? Why not? How do you expect them to come to church if you don't invite them? Well, he's God's business. Yeah. That's why he sent you. That's why he sent you the Holy Spirit, so you could do God's business. This church had everything going for it. It was a friendly church to attend. I know they must have sang Majesty. They had to sing that song a lot. And I think people felt welcome there and felt comfortable there. But the Spirit of God said, but the thing missing in your church, well, I'll tell you what it was missing. Carolyn was driving down the street to go see our granddaughter the other day, and she ran over something, and it stuck in her rear tire, and we took the car to Neil's tire store, and I walked in. I told the guy, I said, I wanted this guy to put a plug in my tire, but I said he misunderstood me. There was a spark plug stuck in the side of Carolyn's tire. And that spark plug is what we're missing in our churches today, that spark plug that ignites the fuel, that creates the power, that can move a church from just stagnant, just one place, to a church that begins to explode and to grow. You would be surprised, church, if every one of you adults and you children who are old enough to understand, you would be surprised what would happen to this church if you would go in the Spirit of God and took the message to your neighbors, to your unsaved family members, to strangers, to doctors, nurses, even backslidden preachers that maybe won't come be pulled out of the hands of God. But it's about that God is talking to this church. He said, you've fallen from it and you need to get back or else. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a local church around here that or else has happened. One up yonder, not very far, or else has happened. And you may think you're okay. You may think you'll be here forever. But God said, unless we go back to the first stuff, or else. Do you hear what I'm saying? God doesn't play games with his word. God means what he says. And he tells us in the very beginning, if we take heart, in other words, if we do what he says, we will be blessed. You know, I've lived most of my, well, all of my Christian life, I've lived a blessed life. You know? I like it that way. I like the blessings of God. Don't you, Gene? I got her out of bed the other morning. She wasn't very blessed that morning. Although she was very cordial. You know, that the curse of the Bible talks about, that curse, which is the opposite of the blessing, isn't so much that hoodoo stuff, you know, that black magic stuff. That's not necessarily the curse that God's talking about, but what he is talking about is there's not the peace of God, there's not the joy of God in your life. Or you may have stuff, you know, outside of God you can accumulate all kinds of stuff. But outside of God, you can't have the peace of God. You can't have the joy of the Lord. You can't have victory. You can't have the hope of eternal life. But if you're blessed of God, I used to have a member of a church here with Pastor Tower Hill, and she would say, I've got the favor of God in my life. That's what a blessed life is, the favor of God. And I believe that God loves all of the churches that have been formed in his name, and I believe that God wants to bless every one of those churches. And I believe probably more than any other time, the need for the message, a message like this, reminding us that we got to get back to the first stuff. We've got to get back to the joy. You see, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And if we believe in him, we'll not perish, but we'll have everlasting life. That spirit has to become a part of us, realizing that my God loved the whole world. And he tells me the greatest thing that I can have is the love of God in me. And I've got to learn how, I think all over again, how to love the lost. You know? How to love the lost. Because the goats in Sheila's story this morning are going to be roasted. Right? They're going to hell where the fire burns eternally. Roasted goat. Can you imagine? But the sheep on the right will be in paradise. They'll be feeding from that banquet table set by God. I don't know, folks. I don't know how big a thing I need to stir to get us stirred up. Huh? But we've got to get stirred up. You've got to get stirred up if this church is going to stay here. You need to see people coming in, getting saved, finding the Lord. You've got to see that. Glenn and I, we're getting old. Some of you are getting old. And that's what happens. Yet I hold this against you, he says. All this other stuff, he says, is good. What's going on here is good. I like it here. It's good. I'd like to see it stay here and continue to grow. How do these other churches grow like they do? They have programs, outreach programs, where they reach the lost. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. And until we pull on our Holy Ghost clothes, get filled with His Spirit, and be driven by the love of the lost, you know, we'll just grow old and die. And nothing will happen. He tells us this. Repent. You know what that means? Repent. Lord, I'm sorry that I've neglected the first things. I'm sorry, Lord, that I become so self-contained that I no longer love the lost people like I should. I repent, Lord. How about it? Do you feel enough of the presence of the Lord here this morning to feel motivated to move toward Him? Do you? Or is this just another morning that you come to hear the preacher preach and go home and make sure the roast isn't burnt? Football game's on. Isn't that how it usually is? Where's Craig at? He probably won't want me coming back after this. See, he got him left the way it was. He's the only smart one in the bunch. He left. Well, you know, I'm guilty of having this kind of funny bone. And sometimes I break up the serious spirit by a funny thing. But seriously, unless this, I'm not just picking on you, okay? I'm preaching to you because I want to see this church here. I want to see it turn that corner and become a soul-saving center blessed by God. That's what I want to see. I want to see the people in this church become so full of joy because they're out there knowing they're doing the work of the Lord, and God is blessing them because you're out there doing it. I don't know of anything more fulfilling than when I'm pastoring to see a new person in the pew that maybe I've had some influence on that person's life. I remember when we first went into ministry, we moved to Canton, and they were supposed to meet us there at the parsonage to let us in, and we drove up with our thing full of furniture and stuff, and there wasn't a member of the church there. And so we're here with our truck full of stuff, and I'm scraping the putty out of a window pane out of the back door to get the glass open so I can reach in and open the door. And here was this little black boy standing there saying, "What you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm trying to get in the church." And I said, "What's your name?" He said, "Ronnie." I said, "Well, that's my name." "Really?" And so we become pals. I probably brought the first black people into the Central Illinois Conference of the Free Methodist Church, because that little black boy and his little black sister become a part of our church, and I had communications with them after we'd even moved away from Canton. I still heard from that young man. I'd love to know where he's at today. I'd love to know how to get in touch with him again. But what a joy. What a joy. It was in youth camp. You're talking about youth camp coming up. It was in youth camp in Greenville, Illinois. That's where our youth camp's at. And sitting there with this front row, Carol and I always worked in the youth camps when we were younger. And I was sitting there with this, with a group of kids, but it was this one young girl from Tennessee. And the camp pastor gave an altar call, and kids were coming up to the altar and kneeling there, and this little girl just sat there beside me. She said, "What are they doing?" And I said, "They're giving their lives to Jesus." I said, "You know, if you give your life to Jesus, you'll be my sister, and I'll be your brother. We're brothers and sisters." She said, "Really?" And she popped up out of her seat and came up to the altar and started praying. And later on in life, she grew up, become a young adult, and joined a college and joined a traveling singing group. And they traveled to different churches singing. And I used to hear from her what a joy it was to know that somewhere along the road you've had influence in the lives of people. It's got to go beyond the pew, folks. You need to take the challenge, the dare, to knock on a door. They won't all open, and they won't all be friendly, but some of them will. Some of them will. And you'll be able to come to church and see them sitting here, maybe help them to an altar of prayer and kneel there beside them. We probably used the altar a little more back a few years ago than we have been lately, but you know, this morning might be a good time for those of you that have taken this message serious and want to repent and say, "Lord, I want to be one of those that you use to win the lost." If you would like to come up to the front of this church and let me pray with you this morning, if you'd want to be one of those that say, "Lord, I want to be on your side." You want to stand? We've got a song that we're going to sing. We're going to use it as our altar call song. I want you to know I'm not trying to trap you into doing something you don't want to do. That's not what I'm trying to do. I get no glory from people. I mean, it's satisfying, but I get no glory from people responding to a message. That's between you and God. But if you want to be the reason that this church grows. If you want to be able to look back and say, I know that kid, then I want you to come forward as we sing this song, and I want to pray for you that God will send you out. Okay?
Turn in your hymn books, please, to number 707. 707. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I come to you to share his love as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. All power is given in Jesus' name, in earth and heaven, in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I come to you to share his power as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live.
May feel as though you couldn't come and stand or kneel, but with an uplifted hand, you say, I want to be remembered in that prayer, that I want to be used of God more than anything else. I want to be used of God. Heavenly Father, I pray for this church, and I pray for these who've responded both by coming and by lifted hand. I pray, Heavenly Father, that right now you would begin to clothe them with your Spirit, Lord. That you would begin to come over them, anointing them, empowering them to become the witnesses that you want them to be in this community and its outreach. Father, I pray that you would keep them from being discouraged. I pray, Lord, that you would put a hedge around them to keep Satan from breaking in and bringing doubt and fear into their lives. But I pray that you would baptize them with a holy boldness that would allow them to do the work that you've called the church to do in Jesus' name. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Lift up the hand and say, praise him, praise him, praise him. God bless you.
Now next Sunday,
that's my last Sunday. I expect to see a church full of people.
Who said it was your last Sunday?
Huh?
Yes. Last Sunday of February.
Well, that's what, wasn't that my deadline?
We just haven't extended it.
Please remember that anybody who's interested in singing in the choir during Lent up until Easter, please come tonight at 4 o'clock and join us.
Yes. Yes.